I'm Jared Roll, curator of the Nostalgia Awakens, an exhibit of vintage Star Wars toys, 1978 to 1985, and you're listening to Comic Pop Library.
Welcome to the Velvet Room. You see, this realm exists between mind and matter.
Thou hast opened thine eyes. The time is now.
So, no.
I am thou. Thou art I.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Comic Pop Gets Animated with Persona 4, the animation, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
Logan.
And we're, like I said, going to be looking at Persona 4, the animation, and Logan's going to read the back to us and give us a little bit of the character synopsis. So go ahead, Logan.
When Yu Narukami moves to the country town of Inaba to stay with his uncle and cousin, he's expecting a lot more peace and quiet than he's been used to in the big city. What he isn't expecting is for his uncle's job as a police detective to spill over into his own life. Or for the murders that are occurring across town to somehow be linked to Yu's own strange experiences, odd local weather patterns, and a mysterious TV show world that seems to be attempting to get Yu to enter it. Now, together with a new group of friends, Yu must plunge into a bizarre alternate reality where he gains unique abilities that will either help him solve the riddle of the mystery killer or lead him to his doom. Journey into the Velvet Room and beyond as the hit PlayStation 2 game becomes a spectacular anime in Persona 4 The Complete Collection.
And this one's roughly, what was it, 24, 26 episodes?
Something like that.
And so it's 26. It's on the back there. Six discs set of 26 episodes, so you can put it in one sleeve if you want. But some of the main characters, what do you got? Who do you want to start with, Logan?
Yeah, we'll go ahead and start with the Persona users.
Okay.
There's Yu Narukami, the main character and the only one that can switch between personas.
Yeah, he has multiple ones by the end of the show. Mm-hmm. And he comes, like I says, from the big city to the small town. So he's kind of new. And he's kind of reserved a little bit. He's not outgoing. He's kind of quietish. I think most new kids will do that when they come to a new town.
There's Yosuke Hanamura, who's the son of the Junez manager, who also moved recently, but less recently than him.
And Junez is pretty much like Walmart?
Pretty much. Except for they've got a little jingle to go with their name.
Yeah, I can't remember how the jingle went, but dun, 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 dun. I just remember Junez. That's all I remember. And that's Yu's sister that does that. She's constantly singing the jingle.
Yeah, the niece.
Mm-hmm. Oh, excuse me, the niece. I'm sorry.
Chie Satonaka, which is, from what I can tell, tomboy friend of the group. And Yukiko Amagi, who's the heiress of a local inn.
And Yukiko, and what was the other one?
Chie.
Chie. They're best friends, basically.
Yeah.
And
best friends with Chie. There's Teddy, which is the basically teddy bear that they meet when they go into the TV realm for the first time.
Right, and then it's kind of, you find out that it's a costume that a blonde kid is wearing?
Well,
or is it a manifestation?
At first there's nothing in there.
And so then, it's a manifestation after a while. Okay.
Later on, he manages to grow a body, because why not?
We'll get into that here and after a bit. Okay, keep going on.
Yeah. Then there's also Kanji, who's the
local
tough
thug
guy who likes to sew and all that.
He's so misunderstood.
And Risei, who's a Star Who's going to take a break for a while.
Yeah.
And maybe kind of quit. Yep. It's
so just kind of tired of being popular, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess that.
Tired of the spotlight and all.
Yeah.
And Naota or Naoto? I'm pretty sure it's at least at first Naoto, but the detective that's a kid detective, not
well, they're one all of the teens.
Group. Yeah, but
and it's a female. I mean, it's
yeah,
a,
but everybody at first thinks it's a boy.
True.
Yeah,
that is true. And then a couple of the others that we have in there, and then we'll start getting into the story. Who else yep. do we got?
There's also the Velvet Room hosts Margaret as well as Igor in this one.
Okay.
And now for the mostly normal humans. Nanoko and Ryotaro Dojima are the uncle and niece that were mentioned earlier.
For of you, the main character.
Yeah.
Right.
They're father and daughter to each other and
right.
pretty much adopt
you. Yeah, kind of do, don't they, in a yeah. sense.
Not legally, but...
Well, he's sent there to... I can't... Just his just parents...
for a year.
Yeah, just for a year. Don't know if he got in trouble. It never really did say, really.
I have no clue.
Don't know either. But anyway, the last other side character that's kind of important is Ryu's partner.
Yeah. Toru Adachi.
And they're both police detectives. And Adachi's yeah. the young one. And with Persona 4, this one is one that it sounds neat. Yeah, it's basically, it's real-world people that get sucked into the TV, and the personas come about because they kind of gain, if you watch Shaman King, oversouls.
Kind of.
In a sense.
And they have to do it by accepting their darker, more subconscious thoughts.
Right, it's a piece of them that isn't mm-hmm. the most pleasant. It's like the dark side of them.
Yeah.
One of them is like a... You, I think he's more reserved, and I think he was wanting to be more flamboyant.
No, that was Yu's the only one we don't really see okay. his shadow. But the
Yukiko
is
she wanted to be more flamboyant, where she was really quiet in yeah, the real world.
She wanted to get out of this town, yep. escape. Kanji is the one that was
they kind of had it lean towards where. He was, you know, he's interested in sewing, so he leans towards, you know, he might have tendencies to be a female-oriented or interested in guys as well. But when it continues on with the show, it's not like that. That's just one side of him. It's yeah. not him completely, but he's so scared to recognize it that he's interested in sewing that it's kind of holding him back. And they have to accept themselves to get their persona. Mm-hmm. And that's when they become this powerful being shadow that in the... But it's only in the Persona world.
Uh-huh.
The TV world, I guess. Not yeah. Persona world, but TV world.
They're only ever shown using them there, yeah?
I'm pretty right. sure.
Though later on, the worlds start to get mixed somewhat.
True. But what was the whole concept from the very beginning? It was basically...
Murder mystery type.
Yeah, they found like one or two bodies in the real world.
Yeah. Just randomly... strung up from a very high area.
Right. And then you accidentally goes into the TV world, if I remember right?
Pretty much. Well, there's a rumor that the TV shows your...
Yeah, the midnight showing.
Whatever. At midnight if it's turned off on certain foggy right. days or whatever.
Rainy days. That's right.
And he goes to touch it and his arm... falls halfway through, I think.
Yeah.
And he freaks out.
And this is at Juness, of course, at the TV section.
Well,
the first one, he was at his house.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's right.
Because it's midnight. The second time when they actually do manage to go through is at Juness. And
it's like that's their main portal is Juness.
Yep.
It's like us going to either Target or Walmart and going to the TV section and you're jumping through the TVs.
Yeah. And... a few times there's actually people nearby who could have noticed that.
True. But it's a band of characters that get together, not because they like each other, but because they're having these similar experiences. Yeah. And they're kind of, in a sense, you start gathering these this team, in a sense.
Yep. And at least part of it is Yukiko gets some suspicion of being the murderer thrown upon her for some reason. Basically, connections with her into the rest of the murders happening.
And then they're being shown on, like, a news channel or something.
Yeah, that's another
people that are being murdered. This one, it leads into being a murder mystery. Then it dives into a, I don't want to say supernatural, kind of sci-fi-ish, I guess, supernatural stuff. Yu-Gi-Oh! Type thing? I don't know how to describe it.
Yu-Gi-Oh! Might be more similar because Heart of the Cards power of friendship bonds. Okay.
But the mystery is almost dropped in almost most of the episodes. Did you find that?
Mm-hmm. And that's probably somewhat true to the game, but yeah. The social links.
It's like they can't keep on track. Keep on track. You got to solve this mystery. But they're only going to this world and gaining these powers. And they keep gaining these powers. Still not solving the mystery. Or even some of them, they don't even really make any headway. They're just gaining powers, it seems like.
Yeah. Well, so they stop the person from dying to their shadow, which is how the first few people got killed in the first place. So there's that at least.
Yeah, but it takes so long.
Mm-hmm. And I think part of that might be how they decided to adapt the game from what I know of it based off of Persona 3 and some knowledge of Persona 4, not much.
Okay, so I have no knowledge of the games. I'm like, I've told everybody before, I'm not a gamer, so I'm coming to this show fresh. Mm-hmm. And as a fresh viewer, it was a little bit of a disappointment. I don't know about you. Did you think it was a disappointment or not?
It probably would have been better as the game, but it was fairly good.
It was fairly good for you?
The ending was a bit off in the boss stages and how they presented that, but...
Well, again, that's adaptation from the game. Yeah. So I can kind of understand that, but to me it's just that they should have concentrated on the mystery, where it was more about the powers and fighting this being in the TV world. Yep. They didn't really do a whole lot in the real world to solve this mystery.
They mainly
until the very latter episodes, and then it was done so quickly. It's like, dude,
and
let's have some story throughout, not just boom, here you go.
It might have had more in the games. I'm not entirely sure, but the social linking was definitely compressed somewhat because generally you'd have. Most of those episodes would probably be intermixed with each other.
Okay.
Not all just this one chunk of time was this happening, but all these different chunks of time would be in the same time period with different...
The flow of the story just didn't work for me. If they would have stuck more with the mystery, or at least blended it better.
Yeah.
Give it equal time. And I think that's what I was kind of disappointed with. Animation-wise, it's beautiful animation. Well, you know, the animated is, you know, it's one of the better animated ones I think I've seen. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the animation. But with part of the storyline, we mentioned Teddy as one of the main team members. This is a being from the TV world that actually crosses over into our world.
Mm-hmm.
And when Logan was, when you were talking about it growing its body, it basically did this so it would fit in better in our world, basically. And
it looked at the people around it, decided, I want to fit in more, and I want to have a humanish body, so I'm going to grow one.
Yep. And it
forgot clothes the first time. And that was a bit
hard. And they had the humor in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the humor. I've always enjoyed humor with the enemies because you had the, Kenji was the tough guy that had the female sensitive side as well as part of his character. And then they meet Naruto. Yeah. Not Naruto.
Yeah, that would be somewhere.
But they meet her, but it's... the character is presented as a he, so he's kind of like, oh my gosh, I actually do have these tendencies, which isn't bad.
Yeah.
But then it's revealed that it's a girl, and that dynamic is part of the comedy.
But he likes Naruto fairly throughout, it seems.
Right. And then a couple of them kind of have crushes on you.
Yeah.
Naruto even has a little bit of a crush. Risa.
Risa.
Chie.
Maybe
A little bit of one.
Yeah.
And Yukiko, even a little bit of one. So use the...
And there might be one between Yukiko and Chie, if I remember correctly. But
well, and they alluded to a little bit of that, yeah, because they're best friends. And but it was... And Yuriko and Chie...
Yosuke? Was,
oh, excuse me. Yosuke and Chie... Yosuke wanted a relationship with her. He liked her, but she would have nothing of it. So they spent a lot of their time bickering back and forth, which is sometimes all really part of that romantic comedy is the two bickering. And but they, I don't think they ever got together per se at the end of the show.
Well, maybe you in might future stories. If you were actually playing the game, maybe. You probably would have gotten together with one of them.
Possibly.
If you were playing the game, but yeah.
Okay. And then... The Velvet Room host
that was not done well. I thought
it kind of got annoying after a while.
Yeah,
because every episode started out with them in this Velvet Room, which was actually the back of a limousine.
Yeah, the Velvet Room changes depending on who's kind of dreaming it.
Okay, but it was always the same in this TV series, though.
Yeah, Yu Narukami's Velvet Room.
And it was Igor and Margaret, like you said. And Margaret was probably there more than the Igor
Margaret
character.
Was one of the ones that had the more blatant crushes on Yu, too. Kind of.
But she was never in the series. It was just... Well, she was just in the
she
Velvet
showed
Room,
up for
she?
She showed up for the one festival as the fortune teller.
Huh, I don't remember that.
And she slapped some sins into you near the end.
Slapped him. Slap me good. But this was kind of, it was even more disjointed because of these, I felt, because what they were saying made no sense sometimes.
Yeah.
It was what does this have a relationship to the episode?
Yeah.
Maybe it did.
Sometimes it was just a recap of you got this arcana, which... As I said, would have been much more spread out if you were actually doing it game-wise, probably.
Yeah, the arcana was the personas, basically, the card-type things that they got. And each one had just one individual one, except you, he had multiple ones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they were built up to fight this big, evil TV world villain boss. Like we said, it's based on a video game, so it's a boss. There's no doubt about it. And each persona is gained by a fight. So there's your stages of the fighting within the games.
Yeah.
So I kind of understood that. And all that was fine. But again, I go back to, I wish they would have done more about them investigating the mystery.
They did do some episodes, but, well, the first ones, the recruitment episodes actually did do... generally deal with the mystery until they got into the Velvet Room itself, which was basically we need to get the people out of here before they die, which is understandable, but all the ones in between that had nothing to do with it was basically compressed social links,
which
didn't seem the best way to deal with that, but it's what happens. So.
That happened. Like I said, if you're into the game, you might be able to get into the animation.
Uh-huh.
I was able to watch. It was easier for me to watch the episodes that had nothing to do with the personas because I had a couple of comedy episodes that were just dealing with the school day or a trip somewhere, which was kind of humorous, and those were fun. Even though they weren't related to the investigation per se, they were fun. Mm-hmm. You know, so that was nice. So there were some episodes that I did like to me overall. I watched it. It was all right. Will I watch it again? Probably not.
Yeah. It is kind of sad, kind of not, because there's apparently a different animation too, the golden version, which also has the other character, which I cannot remember the name of, who is... another resident of the Velvet Room who does not exist in this version.
Okay, well. There might be a different version that you might want to pick up if you're really into the anime and the game.
And I'm pretty sure there's a separate version of the game which she's... Well, either a separate version or a new game plus is the version which you can find that character in.
Okay.
She also apparently manages the wireless or... manages the wireless functions in the golden version. I'm not entirely sure.
Oh, well I think that's about all I have. Do you have anything else?
I
the glasses were kind of...
The glasses were...
Yeah, I guess a gimmick almost. Well,
they did have some relevance later on when the fog started spilling over.
Into the real world.
Yeah. Before that, it was
just in the TV kind world. Kind of
a bit gimmicky, but it worked.
Because basically when they were in the TV world to see the
ghouls. Yeah, to see more than 5 feet beyond their face.
Right. But also to see kind of like the minor ghouls or whatever.
I think they were able to see them before that. It's just they got to see them as there's something now attacking me that was covered in fog before this.
Okay. But I just, it just kind of, I guess they were trying to make glasses cool.
Yep. Because those weren't necessary in previous renditions of the Persona.
Okay.
Well, Persona 3 had evokers to summon the Persona. And nothing needed to see in it. Well, you needed the ability to use a persona in the first place to move about in the realm in which shadows appeared, but...
Okay.
Yeah. Huh. You didn't need anything to see there. You needed the false guns to summon, but...
Right.
Yeah. There is one almost major character that's other than the main cast. It's somewhat weird... That noodle shop girl. She can deliver pretty much anywhere.
Yeah, she was a little bit of the comic relief. She could deliver noodles anywhere you wanted. She was there, by golly. It didn't matter if it was halfway across the town or in the storm or whatever. She was able to be there. Some of the other characters we haven't touched on a whole lot is the father and daughter dynamic that Yu is brought into in this town. Nanako and Ryo.
Ryotaro.
Sorry. The niece is kind of, she's obsessed with Juness.
Yeah.
To the fall. Like I said, she's always singing the catchphrase. She did have a fun episode when we were off air. You kind of mentioned it, Logan, about
when she was investigating Yu's activity before the summer festival, the one fireworks watching festival.
Right.
Yeah. That. And I have no clue what the magical girl detective thing
was. I don't know it either. It was like a cartoon or TV show.
Cartoon and the thing. And she apparently pulled an extremely accurate cosplay of it.
And
very rarely did the thing actually say what it was supposed to say the first time.
True. That is true. And it kind of reminded me when she was dressed up as a Conan.
Kind of. Except for a few magical girls.
Right, it had the magical girls, but it just kind of reminded me, because she was real young and everything, doing the detective thing.
Yeah.
But then her father was, the mother was died somehow. I don't remember. Yeah. Accident
or whatever.
Yeah. He was always at work.
Yeah.
He did not like being at home, so Nanako basically was... what do they call it? A latchkey child. Were by themselves at home all the time. Yu was there to a degree to help watch her, but a lot of times he was gone too.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, gee, thanks for watching my little girl that you're supposed to be doing, even though
he did bring her along too to some of the stuff.
To some of the little get togethers. Not to the TV. Did he?
No.
Not to the TV world, though, no.
Because, the one time she did go in there, not the best idea.
Yeah, but she was kidnapped on that one. Yeah. And that was by the one big baddie or one of the minions of the baddies. I can't remember off the top of my head. But and then the detective assistant, Adachi, he was really young, kind of like he was a rookie detective almost.
Yeah.
And he was really wanting to blame Yu, and he got Ryu to actually start thanking Yu, and Nanako also started investigating Yu because they were like, oh, maybe it is Yu that's doing all this bad stuff.
Well, Nanako was investigating Yu because he was doing very, very odd things nearing that festival. Like explosive fishing.
And that one was one of the funner episodes with the festival. Because that got back to the school life, and they're just being ridiculous. And that was
doing the social links probably more accurate to the game, too. Yeah,
probably.
If you remember those social links.
Having them vaguely.
The comb, the teaching the kids stuff.
I don't know. I don't remember any of that.
Yeah. That was probably closer to what the social links were more like in-game than the first few ones, which was everything's okay. happening only this social link for this chunk of time.
Okay. Or at least okay. So all you gamers would know what Logan's talking about. Because I'm kind of lost right now. But that's all right. The game, like I said, the gaming aspect's not for me. I think that's pretty much it for this one. We'll come back and say what we think about at the very end of the wrap-up. But before then, we got a couple of tweets. From Blackline Media, they are a PR company that does some music for us, and they sent us a group called Surf Vietnam, and we spotlighted their song October Baseball, and of course, this is well after the World Series, but they sent this to us right before the World Series, and we spotlighted it, but Blackline Media wanted to say thank you for your support, Comic Pop Library, and then they just had a question, who are you rooting for during October Baseball? So they kind of have fun with the baseball theme in the World Series that was going on at that time. And I know this is well past then, but we are recorded and then we edit and put it up later. That's why this is so late getting back to you. But we just wanted to thank Black Lion Media for responding back to us and letting us know that they got everything out there. We appreciate you sending music our way to look at as well. So thank you very much for doing that. And to Surf Vietnam for letting us listen to October Baseball. And to wrap this up, like I said, we've been looking at Persona 4, the animation, the complete series. 26 episodes, 6-disc set. So this is one you can pick up for your library. I would say if you're a small library, unless you just have a real big anime following, you could probably skip this one. If you're a medium size, watch it and see. If you can maybe watch an episode or, you know, interlibrary loan it from another library and see if it really warrants.
Maybe the first 3 episodes.
Like I said, if another library happens to have it, do you want to see if you want it in your collection? You can, you know, if you have a big anime following, you can order it through ILL and see if you want it. If you have a gaming collection, that might be that also another thing,
because this is based off of a video game.
Right, so if you have a video game collection within your library that are being checked out, this one might be one you want to slide in there because it is related to the video games.
And remember that there is a second version of it, too, if you wanted to go for that link as well.
The Golden?
Yeah.
Persona 4 Golden Animation?
Mm-hmm.
For larger libraries, I think you could probably slip this one into your collection. It's a nice rendered anime with a video game aspect and everything. The larger ones could probably be able to put this one in their anime collections a lot easier. Your personal collections, it's going to depend on your taste.
Yeah.
This one for me, like I said, it just didn't hit me where I would spend my money to put it in my personal collection. But it does have some good qualities to it, but it was a little lacking for me with the mystery. What about you, Logan? What do you think overall?
I liked it fairly much, but a few bits were off, but overall pretty good, I thought.
Okay. So, just depends on what you're liking. This one might appeal to you. It might leave you wanting a little bit. So, Logan enjoyed it, but Logan, you're into video games a lot. So, you probably got into it a little bit more than I did because you had that a little bit of reference that I did not. So, that might have helped.
That actually might have hurt on some of the
You saw some of the flaws easier?
Yeah.
Some of the stuff that changed?
They only used the personas for the fights. When in the games, you actually have a limit on how much you can use your persona because all their skills use either basically MP or HP. You can cast physical skills. You get hurt by having your opponent persona bash on things.
Right, and that's your game mechanics, though. So they probably just kind of stripped the game mechanics out a little bit to let the story flow a little bit more with the fighting.
Maybe.
Because they did have some of them drop out because they got weak or they got pinned or something.
But
some
in the game, you also had the characters themselves fighting, too.
Oh, okay. That is kind of like
how Yosuke at first brought the swords to the shop and then got kind of Yeah, even fake swords. It is not a good idea to go swinging those around in plain view and getting arrested.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That was the thing that happened in that series, but they never actually went anywhere with improvised weaponry and all that.
Okay. So so there are a few differences then that you'll might not, you know, so it'll just depend. You might like it, you might not. It's depending on personal taste on this one for sure. That's going to wrap it up for us. We've been having fun discussing Persona 4. We hope you guys out there have been having fun listening to us. We will catch everybody on the flip side. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.